You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, joined by my old friend, Alan Gonzalez. Alan, I read your story this week about the Angels now needing to acquire a young, controllable third baseman for 2016, and I almost started to cry. I thought, well, the Angels are in such good shape that they're planning for 2016. And when you look at their roster, that's exactly the case, in that Jerry DePoto has done a phenomenal job lengthening his pitching staff. He has got a good bullpen. He's got a good lineup. I mean, do they have questions? But the Angels are a team that led the major leagues in victories last year, began this spring training in a very good place, don't they?
Yeah, they really do, Richard. And I think, first, thanks for reading also, by the way. they're in a situation where, look, Jerry DePoto is always thinking ahead. And he looks at every position in the sense of where are they going to be at in that position in a couple of years. He's always thinking about the next wave to come in. And I think it's part of a larger, more fascinating way of looking at baseball rosters. When you look at what the Angels and also to some extent what the Dodgers have done, these are two teams that won their respective divisions, spend a lot of money on their rosters, have a lot of high-profile players. But I think if you look at the moves that both teams have made this offseason, they're both kind of with an eye toward the future as well. And, you know, and I think the big question here, and I think it applies mostly to the Angels, can you have both? And what I mean by that is, can you make your roster more sustainable? Can you extend your contending window while also not hurting the immediate championship hopes of your team? And that's the goal of every major league club, Richard. It doesn't matter how much money they spend, they want to make themselves more sustainable, but also win now. And I was talking to Jerry DePoto at length about this last night, actually, about whether or not that's a delicate balance. And, you know, a prime example is trading Howie Kendrick for Andrew Heaney. That trade, no doubt, made them better long-term because Howie Kendrick is a free agent at season's end. Andrew Heaney is a top pitching prospect, and he's going to be in the club control for 6 years. The question is, did it make them a little bit worse next year because now all of a sudden you don't have Howie Kendrick in your lineup? And I think that's kind of the line that the Angels are kind of walking this year and the Dodgers as well. And you look at these new front office groups, they're kind of trying to maximize the window a little bit. And if you look at the nature of baseball, Richard, and I feel like baseball more than any other sport, their postseason is probably more random than any other sport there is. And I think in baseball, it makes a little bit less sense to kind of just go all in for 1 year. And I think what these front offices are realizing, or maybe not realizing, but what they're aiming for is giving themselves a 90-plus win team for multiple seasons so that they have several cracks at the playoffs. I just feel like, given the nature of baseball, I feel like sometimes it's a little foolhardy to just put all your chips on one season. The Angels are trying to make themselves more sustainable. They'd like to not part ways with their major league club to attain that third baseman, but if it's somebody that they really like, I wouldn't be surprised if they pull the trigger.
Yeah, you know, Alden, that's weird. I was thinking about it, that exact same thing. The Cardinals are wrestling with that right now. They can get Cole Hamels tomorrow, but it's going to cost them Stephen Piscotty, Marco Gonzalez, probably one other player. The Rangers have been very quiet, but they have all this minor league talent to trade. And I think, you know, when you develop kids, they become like your kids. You're invested in them.
Yeah.
And when do you know is the time to trade one of those guys to take a step forward? Jerry DePoto has done a fabulous job since he got there because he walked into a situation where they were pitching poor. And, you know, and it's fair to point out Garrett Richards taking a huge step forward, Cam Bedrosian, Shoemaker. They've gotten some great guys that have grown
up. You need a little bit of luck sometimes, yeah.
Hey, no, so second base, Howie Kendrick. Let me ask you first. What do they lose in Howie Kendrick? Because the Dodgers are looking at him as more than a second baseman. They think in the room, in the clubhouse, he and Jimmy Rollins will be impactful. What do you got to know, Howie? What are the Dodgers getting?
Well, I don't think Howie's not really going to be the vocal leader. And, you know, I was at that Jimmy Rollins press conference yesterday and just listened to him talk. You could tell that Jimmy Rollins is the kind of guy that embraces that leadership role, commands the room, and really kind of commands respect, has a lot of confidence in himself. You could tell he's going to be a vocal leader. I don't think Howie's the vocal kind of guy, but Howie's about as disciplined a ball player as I've ever run into. You know, the great thing that Howie brings, the hallmark of Howie Kendrick, is his consistency. You know what you're going to get from him day in and day out. And I think that's characterized by his last five seasons. His last five seasons with the Angels has been as consistently dominant as there is for a second baseman. And maybe dominant is too big a word for that, but, you know, I think the big thing that the Angels are going to miss with Howie Kendrick is that he brings you offense that is very uncommon for that position, and there's no way that they're going to make up for that. There's not going to be one player that's going to get 600 plate appearances at second base that's going to replicate what Howie Kendrick brought offensively to second base. So they're hoping to do that by committee. They have they traded for Rutledge from the Rockies. They really like, who has played really well, you know, in the times when Troy Tulowitzki was hurt. They picked up Johnny Giovatella off waivers. They have Grant Green in-house. They picked up Taylor Featherstone off the Rule 5 draft. These are not sexy names. They're going to try to do it by committee at second base. I think the one guy that they feel like maybe is going to really help their offense is Matt Joyce. They flipped Kevin Jepsen to the Rays for Matt Joyce, who's going to get the majority of the DH at-bats, and is probably going to play some left field to kind of get Josh Hamilton off his feet and make sure that he stays healthy. But, look, they don't feel like they're going to have one guy to replicate Howie's offense, but they do feel like they're going to have an offense as a whole that's going to be able to kind of produce like last year's offense, which is saying a lot because they led the majors in runs last year.
Alan, about Josh Hamilton, there were reports that maybe the Angels were willing to listen to offers on him. What do the Angels believe can be salvaged? What is Josh Hamilton going to be at age 33 going forward, in their opinion, do you think?
I think they have reasonable hope that if he stays healthy, he can produce. I don't think anybody in that organization could really could truly believe that he could be that MVP-type guy that he was in Texas, even as late as that 2012 season, that last one where he had a bad second half. But they don't feel like they feel like maybe he's not going to be that same guy. But, you know, when you take a step back and look at 2014, he was really good for a couple of weeks, and I know it's only a couple of weeks, but then he had that thumb injury, and then he came back and he couldn't hit for power. And he said his thumb was fine, but, I mean, when you have a thumb injury as a power hitter, you're not going to hit for power as much. I mean, it's going to bother you. That was a major surgery that he had. He was still getting on base. He was still hitting pretty well. He would go on these little streaks, and then September was just a nightmare for Josh Hamilton. He could not get on the field. He was taking cortisone shots left and right. He had a shoulder injury. Then it merged into his obliques, and then he got into the playoffs with absolutely no feel for live pitching whatsoever. And when you get into that environment and you haven't seen any live pitching, you're going to struggle big time. I mean, you look at Josh Hamilton in that MVP season 2010. He rushed back at the end when he had that rib injury, and then he was brutal for that first series in that division series. He couldn't hit. And in the second round, he won the MVP when he finally got some timing under him. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy. It's clear that he's had a really bad run with the Angels, and he probably won't be the same guy anymore because it's hard to see him becoming that at age 33, like you pointed out. But I think at the very least, the Angels feel like if they could keep him on the field, then he could produce something. What that something is, I'm not sure, but they feel like he still has value because he still plays some pretty good defense. He still run a little bit, and he's still a threat in the batter's box from that left side. Now, how long is he going to be an Angel? When are they going to trade him? Are they going to trade him? Who knows? But I feel like at the very least, the Angels are going to let the 2015 season play out, Richard, because, I mean, there truly is no market for Josh Hamilton right now. On top of the fact that he struggled so badly, he's got 3 years left, his most expensive years are coming up now. I mean, it's almost impossible to trade the guy.
Yeah, and, you know, we've spoken for 9 minutes about the Angels, and you know who we haven't mentioned? We haven't mentioned the best player on the planet Earth. Isn't that great?
That's a record, Richard, I think.
And he is the best player on the planet, on planet Earth. So with Mike Trout in the middle of everything, the Angels are in a great spot. Let me one more question about the American League West. It looks to me, just from the outside looking in, like the Angels and Mariners have separated themselves pretty substantially from the pack. If you were doing an American League West power rankings, how would you line them up?
Oof, that's tough. I think you're definitely right. And who knows, right? Because we always say these things, and then fall on their heads when the season starts. But I really do think it's going to be Angels and Mariners. I feel like they've separated themselves. I think right now I'd put the Angels first just because they're coming off that 98-win team, and I think they're more complete with bullpen, with the lineup, with the defense, with the rotation. But I think the Mariners are right behind them. The thing that may put the Mariners over the top eventually is that starting pitching, Richard. And I know Nelson Cruz was a nice addition to protect Robinson Cano in the middle of the lineup. They badly needed that. But when you're running out of rotation with Felix Hernandez and Iwakuma, Paxton, and Taijuan Walker, who may take some huge steps this year, that is really, really dangerous. Their bullpen was one of the best in baseball in the second half last year. But who knows, the bullpens, they fluctuate a lot. A lot of people were surprised that their bullpen was as dominant as it was. But that rotation is going to be really, really good. And that's going to be maybe their separator this year.
Alan Gonzalez covers the Angels for MLB.com. And I thank you for joining us, Alvin. We'll talk to you next week.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.